I will not be before you long, because as I was preparing, obviously I had this huge set of notes that I had because I was sharing and planning to share about building. And I was doing my part two message that, you know, I tried to do a couple weeks back, and Holy Spirit interrupted. And then I was praying and preparing. And even in my preparation, the Lord only gave me just a couple scriptures, but he continued to draw my heart to worship. And so I spent a lot of my preparation time just worshiping and singing before the Lord. And then I wanted to, let me just at least say thank you to every person who stepped forward and shared and just gave the exhortations or the encouragements and stepped out in faith. I know that for some of us, it's very difficult. And I celebrate that we are growing in faith and in beauty together. I'm going to just give you guys a couple passages. Is that okay? So these passages are for all of the faithful saints in this room. But it's a consideration because I could not get my heart and mind off of a few very key points when people were sharing. You know, like when Anna was first sharing, I'm not even sure what passage she was sharing from, because I fixated on the Lord being angry and I couldn't get off of that. And even in my study earlier, my heart was also fixated on Luke 14 when God was angry. And in Luke 14, I'll give you at least Luke 14, because that was actually on the meditation of my heart. It was the scenario around the king. I've actually had many conversations with some of you guys in this room about how I was feeling, because you guys know we're planning this Flourish event with Bob Sorge. And while I've been preparing, I noticed that some of our registrations were low. And I said, okay, well, Lord, no big deal. We've done events before. And I say low, we actually got a good number of people that are going to be there. But I anticipated significantly more. And I got drawn to that passage in Luke 14 with the king. And it was a parable that Jesus was sharing. And he was welcoming people to the banqueting table, right? And there were all these excuses that were given. Actually, let's just look at it real quick, because these are the two passages I'm going to read. So I'm going to read this one. I'm going to read one more. And then we're going to go home, because the Lord said what he needed to say today. Are you guys ready? So this is Luke 14. Starting off at verse 15. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he. Hang on one second. I messed up and I pushed something I shouldn't have pushed. This is why paper Bibles are still a thing. I'm sorry. Yes. All right, here we go. One more time. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all the things are now ready. But they all with one accord began making excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go see to it. And I ask that you have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. And I ask you if you could have me excused. Verse 20. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities and bring here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, I have done as you've commanded, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For as I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. What a note to end on. Now, again, with that whole event I was planning, I was like, Lord, people have to be in the room. And I was like, I got to get people in the room. And some of you guys have actually even endured phone calls. I was calling people. I was like, I need y'all to tell people to come out and that kind of deal, because I said the room must be filled. And the thing is, we need to feel that burden. I think the first point I was giving was that we need to give room in our hearts to experience God. And what I mean by just experience God is I'm not just talking about us feeling warm, fuzzy feelings during the worship service, but I'm talking about the whole gamut of who he is, how he feels about things, the longing of his heart for his house to be filled. Now, I'm just doing a random event. Do we have a longing for his house to be filled when we gather and worship? I was pursuing a friend of mine who hasn't come to the fellowship or come to church in a long time. He hasn't gone to any church in years, ever since COVID. He just hasn't gone back. And I was like, bro, it's like, you know, I just kind of doing my thing. You know, I'm watching online. Da, da, da. And I said, I'm just letting you know that when you worshiped in the room, I felt the power of the Lord when we worshiped together. I said, is that not enough of a reason for you to come in and bring in your worship into the house of the Lord? Like, obviously the scripture says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. We can go there. But I'm like, I don't have to go there. You know the scriptures. Why would you not just bring your worship into the house of the Lord? Because if you make it all about you, you've made it all about you. But it's not about you. We are actually encouraged together when we worship together. That's why we gather. Like, good grief, we could actually do what we've done in this room in our houses. We could, honestly. But the Lord knew in his wisdom that it is better for us to come together. That's why he said it. And sometimes we make excuses. Now, I'm not even talking about just making excuses as to why we come to worship, because that's not actually for you. Why? Because you're in the room. You're in the room. However, there are things that God has invited us to. Like when Shanti and Myra highlighted being kind. And then the Lord says, I need you to be kind to somebody and share my love with somebody or to encourage somebody. And we make excuses. And the Lord is like, my house has to be filled. Now, mind you, and the Lord is, he gets angry. Like, I don't like it when people seem to attempt, they can't do this successfully, but they attempt to almost emasculate God and make him like the tooth fairy. I'm like, he's God. Okay. He's God. You have to embrace the fact that he is also good, kind, loving, and terrible. He's God. And he went to great extravagant lengths for our salvation. And he has asked that we express acts of kindness by sharing of who he is with others. If he's really that good, it should not be that hard. It's a part of my life. I cannot not talk about him. It's really simple. It's not like I'm putting this major mandate, talk about the Lord. It's like, if he actually did impact your life to the extent that has pulled you out of the depths of the mire, pulled you out of the depths of hell, then talking about him should not be that hard. The hard part of talking about the Lord actually is in the rejection from others. And you're longing for them to be saved. That's the hard part, because it's not easy. It doesn't feel good to be rejected. It also doesn't feel good when you're looking at somebody that you care for and you know that they're doomed or damned for destruction. That's the hard part. But not sharing of who he is. That should not be the hard part. Second passage, because we're going to talk about God's friend. You guys know who I'm speaking of, right? Moses, the friend of the Lord, Exodus chapter 4, verse 14-ish. I might be somewhere else. Give me a second. So, little backstory, burning bush. God was talking to Moses. This is one of two times where God was quite angry with Moses. Three times. Wow, God got angry with Moses a few times. I'm thinking about it. All these scriptures flashing through my mind. I'm like, oh, that was too. And that, yeah, that was bad, Lord. Oh, gee. So let it be known, as we consider God's friend, We are all God's friends. And sometimes we disappoint and anger our Lord. I love the fact that we can disappoint, we can anger, and yet again, it does not impact this extravagance of his love for us. Okay? However, if you continue in that to an unglorified end, it could cost you your salvation. I will throw that out there. But at the same time, and what I mean by costing your salvation, it's costing you the relationship, right? Any parent in this room knows this. Our kids have not always been in our favor, right? If your kids have not ever made you angry, I would question your parenting. All right? Right? Now, mind you, even though we have angered our parents, even though our children have angered us, it in no way removes the significance of our burden and our love for our children, right? However, if they persist in the behavior, what happens is the relationship is now officially broken, right? Trust is lost. And some of us have experienced that painfully. But it's a progression. It takes time. So the encouraging words of us saying here and now is to say, hey, let's curb the behaviors that can anger our Lord so that we can stay in good standing. That's it. And we're going to look at again at God's friend, who we recognize in scriptures that was called God's friend. So again, burning bush, right? After the burning bush, God gives some commands and instructions to Moses. And let's listen to Moses' response. Verse 10 is where I'll start. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or makes the mute, or the deaf, and the seeing, and the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you, or I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say." I have to remind you guys, for a lot of people like to ride on the fact that Moses had like a speech problem. And, you know, people can say that. One of the things that kind of messes my head up a little bit is later on in scripture. I want to say, is it Peter or is it Hebrew? Somewhere, I can't remember. Oh, is it in Acts where it says it? My baby says Acts 7. Or you were talking about where it says that Moses actually was able to speak quite eloquently because he was a prince of Pharaoh. He definitely was well educated, right? And so now, you know, people can go back and forth. The Bible doesn't say specifically that Moses had a speech problem. This is actually Moses' excuse. Now, how strong of an excuse it was, well, I don't know. But it does not nullify, nor does it negate, the Lord's point that we just read. I will be in your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. Right? Verse 13. But he, Moses, said, "Oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? And I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him the words that I put in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." How many of us have said those similar conversations? "Lord, please send somebody else." Come on now, let's be honest. I know, yeah, people, the Lord prompts you. You feel the push. You feel the urge. You're at the Walmart. You're at your office. You feel, and it's like, Lord, you're good, but can you send somebody else? The Lord was angry and still answered the prayer. "I'ma send your brother, okay?" Would it not have been just easier just to say, "Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I'll go and obey"? Like, let us not exhaust the grace. Paul gave us clear warnings of that in Romans. Let's not exhaust it, but let us shift our context. One verse, and we're going to call it quits. You ready? And we'll lean into this a little bit more. This is Romans chapter 8. It says, verse 19. I'm going to read this out loud probably three times. It says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's Romans 8:19. I'm going to read it again. For the earnest expectation of the creation, all of God's created order, eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. I'll say sons and daughters. Say that one more time. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. We are the revelation of God. Actually, can you say that with me? I am the revelation of God. I am the revelation of God. You are the revelation of God. He has revealed himself to you. He has revealed his love to you in a way that you cannot deny. That's why you still keep coming. Because of the truth of that revelation. And his spirit, though all of us are of different backgrounds, and extravagantly different backgrounds, might I add, and yet we find camaraderie around one thing: the Lord. And there is a dying world out those doors. Would you be so willing to answer the call of creation to reveal who God is to the rest of the world and say, Lord, here I am, send me. I will speak of who you are. I will share of your goodness. I will share of your love. Can you all bow your heads at this time? I'm going to ask if you could to ask the Lord to speak a fresh word of instruction or direction. And as he speaks, I just want you to say gently in your heart, yes. Whatever he speaks, whatever he says, listen carefully. Some of you may want to journal or jot some things down to further your conversation when you're home before you pray, or when you're at home in bed being ready to pray. Again, don't diminish what he says. If it's extravagant, he will be in your mouth, he will be in your hands. If he says something simple or light, don't diminish it. Just give the yes. Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for how you moved, Jesus. How you consistently confirm your love with all of us over and over and over again. And Lord, we just ask, oh God, that you would move in a beautiful way. That we would be able to see it, oh Lord. So often we are so distracted that we miss the beautiful ways that you move regularly and daily and around and about us. But Lord, let us be still so that we can see you moving and walk confidently in and with your spirit, that others may be saved, and that we would also go from glory to glory in you, Jesus. We love you, my Lord. I pray that our love for you will be clearly expressed and recognized by those that see us and engage with us on a daily basis. In your holy and mighty name, amen.